with is Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Chaf Tes. Parsha told us. It goes the following. The pasuk says, "Vayozeh Yaakov Nazid, Vayovei Esav, Yovo Esav Min Asad Buayev." So we all know what basically happened. We know that Yaakov and Esav grew up. They both grew up. They were 15 years old at this time. And then it says that Yaakov made a certain dish. It does not say what. Yozeh is the lashon of bishul. So it seems that he cooked something, and Esav came from the field, and he was starving, tired, weary, however you want to word it, something that has to do with he needed food immediately, something that he needed immediately. So the question, first of all, is what was Yaakov Avinu cooking? Why was he cooking? What was he doing in the kitchen? So Rashi says in Tehillim Kuftes that on that day, Avram Avinu had passed away, and Yaakov made this dish of lentils in order to console his father Yitzchak. Now that's what happened. Avram Avinu passed away, this is what he did. The Rabbeinu Bechaya points out that an Avol should not eat his own food on the day of the burial. So he shouldn't eat of his own food. We call that the Sudas Havra'ah, the Suda in which you feed the person who had passed away. So Yaakov made the lentils for his father Yitzchak. That's what ended up happening. Yaakov ended up giving it to his father Yitzchak. Targum Yonasan says the same, that Avram had died on that very day. That on that day, that's when everything had happened, and this is the idea of what Yaakov was doing. There is no hint to this in the Pasuk. We mention Avram Avinu's death at the end of Parshas Chayisara, but age-wise, this is what happened at that time. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, why we do lentils based on the measures, the Gemara Baba Basra Tazayin, that they're round to show that the world is a circle that goes around and comes around. People live, people die, right? And they help. That helps the Avol accept his fate, that he's not the only one that this has happened to. There's another reason that lentils have no mouth. Just like an Avol can't speak, so too the lentils, and so too with an egg. We have the minute nowadays to really make eggs. So we don't do that so the Avol can't speak. So the Orachaim is a very different shot in what was happening over here. Aside from Avram Avinu dying, he says that Yaakov noticed that Yitzchak Avinu was showing favoritism to Esav because of food. That Esav would feed his father Yitzchak, and that's why Yitzchak loved Esav so much, because he kept kitzayid b'fiv. He took his hunting, his game, and he gave it over to his father's mouth. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, so Yaakov Avinu said, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to give food to my father Yitzchak, and I'm going to see if he loves me the same way he loves Esav. Just like Esav feeds him. And obviously we know that the way to a man's heart is his stomach. So I'm going to do the exact same thing, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, to try to gain that favor. That's the second shot that we have in this idea. The Medrash HaGadol says, this shows you the greatness of Yaakov Avinu. What a Medrash. It says, there were many servants in the house of Yitzchak Avinu. Many servants that were there. It's interesting because we don't see those servants. We assume that the servants are there because they had people that were digging the wells, etc. But we don't actually see it there in front of us.
Well,
but
the metric,
we don't know what happened to them. The assumption is that they stayed. Yeah, the assumption is that they stayed. But either way, the metric also says there were many servants there, and there were people that would do anything for the son of their master. They would do anything for the son of their master. But nonetheless, when Yaakov Avinu would come home late from the base medrash, this is the wording in the medrash, when he came home late from the base medrash, and everyone else was sleeping, he wouldn't wake up any of the servants to make him dinner. He made dinner himself. That was the Milo of Yaakov Avinu, that he made a good husband, that he was still able, he was cooked in the household, and that he took care of himself whenever he needed to make something. That was the idea. And it just happened to be that one time when Yaakov Avinu was making his own dinner, Esav came in, and that's when he was starving. That's the idea from the Medrash HaGadol. The Rabbeinu Ephraim said there are two merits, two zechuyos, that Yaakov and his children have to take the Bechor status away from Esav. There was the Torah that they learned, and the Sanhedrin that they judged people correctly. Torah and Din were the two reasons why they went through. Both are hinted to here by Yozed, says the Rabbeinu Ephraim, is a gematria of 27 for the 22 letters of the Torah plus the 5 extra letters, the Pesophis, Kofsophis, etc. So that's one. And then Nazid is 71 for the numbers of Sanhedrin, referring to the Chuyos. So far, we have three reasons why he was cooking. Avram Avinu's Avelus, or because he wanted to show favoritism, try to get the favoritism of Yitzchak Avinu, or because he was cooking on his own. And the Rabbeinu Ephraim hints to what it is, but the Malvin says a crazy pshat. He says the idea of the Bechor, the whole idea of the Bechor, is that the firstborn were separated. They were allowed to work exclusively in their Avodas Hashem. They were, so to speak, Kolel guys. That they sat there and they worked as Kohanim. They learned all day long whatever it was that they had to learn back then. They did what they were supposed to do. The Bechor, not only that, but he also had to take care of his father's house. His father and his mother, as they aged, he would take care of them. Although he wasn't making Parnassah, although he wasn't doing the Parnassah thing and giving them business or whatever it is, he would take care of the household, making sure that whatever needed to be had would be had. The other brothers, all the other people of the household, would pay the older brother to take care of all of them. And he, for that reason, would get the bechor, he would get a second portion of money to be able to take care of his father and mother as they went older. You would get that. Obviously, the father passed away, so it would be just the mother, whoever else was in the household at the time. He would get a second thing to do, and that's that. Yaakov Avinu had no desire, says the Malvin, for the honor and the money. I think we understand that, and I think it's obvious from the very, very end. When Yaakov Avinu left Yitzchak to go to find Rivka's family, Lavan, in order to marry Rachel and Leah, when he went out to go find them, it's clear he didn't take a penny. I know the Medrash says that Eliphaz took everything from him, but it seems from Pshat in the Pasuk that he didn't take a penny. He wanted to show, I want nothing of the prestige, of the honor, of the money that comes with the Bechor status. The only thing I want with the Bechor status is that I want to take care of my father and my mother. Meaning, we all know that Esav was the man who was in charge of Kibud Av V'Em, the guy who was mechabed his father like no other person had ever done before, that he would dress up in Shabbos clothing to do Kibud Av in front of his father. We know that that's what Esav was like. But Yaakov showed true Kibud Av, that whenever his father needed something, when his father needed something in the future, he would take care of it. He was promising, I will take care of it, I will do it, says the Malbim. That's the Pshat Yaakov. When Esav shirked his responsibilities in the house, ran out to the field, was hunting and pretending that he was taking care of his father, and then showed the little bit of favor when he went in to go see his father, Yaakov said, I'm here all day long, I want to take care of my father. Esav, you don't need the Bechor, let me take care of dad. You can go out into the forest and do whatever you want, let me be able to do it. That's the Pshat. Yaakov was the one, says the Malbim, it had nothing to do with the Bailus, nothing to do with showing favoritism. Yaakov was the one making food because he always made food. Yaakov was the cook of the house because he was the Bechor. That he considered himself the Bechor. He was taking care of everybody. So by Yozid Yaakov Nizid was not a one-time thing. Says the Malbim, it was every night. He took care of his father. He did what he was supposed to do, and that's why Yaakov said to Esav, what's the point of you having this status if you're not going to use it? If you're not going to be the person taking care of the household, let me do it. I'm cooking anyway. I'll do everything. That was the idea, says the Malbim. And then the Shach says the fifth pshat that says that has nothing to do with eating or feeding him at all. There was nothing. Nothing that had to do with actually feeding him lentils or anything like that. He was cooking up a plan. This is the wording of the Shach. This is one of the Talmidim of the Arizal. Cooking up a plan. Thinking of a way to be able to get the Bechor right. He knew that Esav hunted all day. He knew that he came home hungry every single night. He ate meat constantly because that's what he hunted. And he took care of all the proteins and the carbohydrates that he could get. So Yaakov Avinu made a dish that he knew Esav had never seen before, he'd never heard of before, a lentil soup. He came up with a plan where he'd make Esav sit there and say, you know, I could use a good soup tonight. I'm too used to the meat that I'm having every single day. I'd love to have a little soup. I'd love to have this. He specifically made some type of a dish to be able to convince him, to make him intrigued and make him willing to sell his Bechor rights. So this whole thing, the Shach says, was a put-up to be able to try to get Esav to sell him the Bechorah, but not because of any other outside reasons like we mentioned before. That's the idea behind it. That's the Shach itself. The truth is, there's a Gemara. It's in Bava Basra, Tetzayin Mabez, and it says the conversation that Yaakov Esav had, it's a strange conversation. The conversation is that Esav comes in and asks why Yaakov is cooking lentils. What are you doing? Why are you cooking these lentils? And Yaakov answers, because the old man has passed away. Referring to the Zakein has passed away. He does not say his father Avram. Now, I could learn that up in two different ways, but let's assume that the reason why is because it is usur to tell over bad news in such a way. It's a Gemara and Pesachin. When somebody passes away, you want to say it in a way where you're not the bearer of bad news. When someone passes away, you try to say it in such a way where it's not there. So he said, an old man passed away, so he didn't have to say directly that he was the one to say that Avram Avinu passed away. That's one way of understanding it. The other way of understanding it is that everybody called Avram the Zakein. In fact, the coin in which Avram Avinu had coined in his lifetime, that the Gemara Bava Basra speaks about, says that on one side of the coin it says Zakein, and on the other side of the coin it says Yeled. Referring to Zakein Avram Avinu, and the Yeled was referring to Yitzchak, but the coin said the word Zakein. So apparently Zakein was the name of Avram Avinu. That's how I understand that. I would assume so also. Maybe you're saying like Zadie just passed away.
What they were talking about, how they would back.
Yeah, maybe it's possible. It's a possibility that that's a third shot as to what's going on. I'm sorry? Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, they're totally opposite of shot. I'm just saying that that's an idea of how it would end up working. But the problem is, think of that answer. Think of what Esav was asking and think of the answer. Esav asked, why are you cooking? And he said, Zadie just passed away. Hold on a second. That's not answering the question at all. Do you think Esav knew the minhag of cooking lentils for somebody who just passed away? Meaning, it's true. I guess in theory they could have known that minhag, right? But it seems like Yaakov made the minhag. The whole minhag comes from this. Exactly. I think that Yaakov made it. And Yaakov created the concept. So what Esav was doing is, what are you doing? And he said, Zadie just passed away. That's not answering my question. My question is, what are you doing? You say, I'm cooking because I don't want Yitzchak making food for himself. I'm giving him food instead. That's what the proper answer is. Or you should say, the minhag is to eat lentils in the first meal after the burial. That's what you should say. But to say, Zadie passed away, that's not enough. That doesn't explain what you're doing. That doesn't explain anything at all. So the Ian Yaakov says that Esau was asking something else entirely. The Ian Yaakov is the Ein Yaakov. He has two different parts. The Ian Yaakov, there's the Eitz Yosef, he has different parts to the Ein Yaakov itself. The Ian Yaakov says that his assumption, Esav's assumption, was that Avram Avinu would never die. That was his assumption. He had a stone around his neck. The Gemara Bava Asra says, Hashem Beirachas Avram Bakol, according to one shot in the Gemara, he had a stone around his neck that healed anyone that was sick. That anyone who was sick would look at the stone and they'd be healed. Now, all the Mefarshim take that to be that it's a medrash and that it's not to be taken literally. It wasn't literally a stone, especially since the Gemara says, what happened to the stone after death? Well, he put it in the sun. Well, clearly, that's not meant to be in a shot way, unless that's a crazy throw. But that seems to be, it's a medrash. So what does it mean he had a stone around his neck? He had a way of speaking to people that were sick. He had a way of dealing with them that made them feel better. That's the pshat behind it. But Esav took it literally. He has a stone around his neck. Avram Avinu can't die. If it heals all the sick, if he's sick, he'll be healed by his own stone. There shouldn't be a problem. So he said lentils. The reason why they're made is because it's a good food to have once every 30 days. It's Gemara Brachos Daf Mem. A good food to have once every 30 days. Because it helps a person save himself from a disease called Ascara. Ascara is the worst death a person can have. Out of the 903 deaths, it's the worst thing that a person can have. Yisrael, you should know that. Right? So it's 903 deaths. That's the worst one you should have. That Ascara is some type of strangulation where a person basically chokes on their own breath. It's a disease where he can't breathe. And therefore, this lentil soup, somehow, it goes down the throat smoothly that allows you to not have that problem. The sickness goes away, so you should have once in a while. So Esav was saying, why do you need to cook lentils? That's what he was saying. Can't Avram's stone heal him without any medicines? He was assuming that the soup was from Avram Avinu, was for Avram Avinu. To which Jason was asking, why would you need that? The soup is unnecessary. You just could have a stone. To which Yaakov Avinu answered, Avram Avinu passed away. The soup isn't for him, it's for Yitzchak. That's the idea behind it. It wasn't about trying to say that this is a minhag. It's trying to answer Esav's question, which was a different question than we thought that it was.
But that doesn't make any sense then.
Why? What's up?
How did he pass away if he has a stone then?
So, meaning Esav's question right. Still is a strong question. Right. There's three answers to the question. Number one is, Ein chavush matir atzmo beis asurim. A person who is in jail cannot get himself out. The rayas and brachos, hamad beis. Rabbi Yochanan saw that Rabbi Elazar was sick. He went to go visit him, saw that he was sick. And he said to him, give me your hand, gave him his hand, and he got him better. Then Rabbi Yochanan was sick. The next Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan was sick, and Rechia bar Abba comes to visit him. Right? And Rechia bar Abba says, do you want the sickness? He said, no. So he gave him his hand and gave him. So the Gemara says, why couldn't Rabbi Yochanan heal himself? If he healed Rabbi Elazar, why couldn't he heal himself? Ein chavush matir atzmo beis asurim. A person who's in jail cannot release himself from jail on his own. Somebody else has to help. There has to be a tefillah from somewhere else. You can't do it to yourself. Now, I know we say we daven for ourselves, but it's literally, there are certain, let's call it limitations that a person has regarding himself. That's one reason. The other reason why he wouldn't be able to heal is, again, this stone was able to help, not literally. Although Esav took it literally, it meant that he was able to speak to people, he was able to deal with people. And that didn't help for himself. He mamash was sick and he was dying. And that's number two. Number three, it healed sicknesses. It didn't heal death. It didn't mean that people wouldn't die. It's not that Avram, you know, every time somebody was dying, would go up to him, show him the stone, and everything was there. I read by Alain Lechavet from Yitzhak Zilberstein once that the Ksav Sofer, one time, when somebody was sick in his town, took out the handkerchief that he used to wear. They used to wear, I forgot what they're called, ascots, I think that's what it's called. They weren't ascots. So he took out the ascot, and he gave it over to the person that had been, ran up to him and asked him to daven for the sick person. Some random person, some guy in the town. And he gave him the Ksav Sofer, the Ksav Sofer's son, Rav Avram Sofer, Rav Avram Shriver. So he took it out and he gave it to him. He said, put it by this person to like wipe up the sweat with this ascot. He should be fine. So he went there and he gave it to him and he did it and the guy was healed. And he said that the greatest refuah that a person can have is Torah. And since I use this when I'm learning all day long, all my sweat when I'm learning goes into this. That means that my sweat has the ability to heal other people. So first of all, that's awesome, and I wish my sweat healed other people as well. Right? But number two, that shows that he felt that there was a healing property just to learning. Maybe that's the idea behind it. Okay, why was Esav so tired? It says, by who Ya'eth, he was tired. What does it mean that he was so tired? What was he tired from? So the Chizkuni says the simplest pshat. Hunters going after prey and running in the field all day long, chasing after and then stripping off the skin and doing whatever they have to do, are exhausted. They're absolutely exhausted by the end of the day. Sometimes they get lost for a day or two. Sometimes they don't have enough food or drink while they're in the forest and they have no idea where they're going or what they're doing whatsoever. So by the time they come in from the fields, they're exhausted. He couldn't move. So this time, Esav had been lost in the fields for a few days. He came back. He's tired. He's hungry. He's thirsty. He came in, and that's when he came up to Yaakov and he asked. That's the first pshat, pashup pshat. The Panach Raza, it's also a Rishon, says that he had something called bulmus. Perhaps you've heard it from the Gemara. Bulmus was a stomach ailment in which if you don't eat immediately, you could go crazy. Your eyes start to go wild. You don't see in front of you. A person could go blind from it. That bulmus, if you get this, you should feed him anything, even non-kosher food, if the guy gets bulmus. That's one of the lines that you should do, even on Yom Kippur. If a woman gets bulmus from something that she has, you're allowed to feed her anything that she wants. You're allowed to slaughter for such a person. Bulmus is a serious sickness that took people by surprise and was over there. The Gemara even goes through certain Amoraim, what happened to them when they got bulmus. It's a crazy little thing. So that's the idea. It's in Yuma Pei Gimel as a side note. Yeah?
If that's the case, then why was it that Yaakov sold it to him?
Oh, give me a second on this. That's why he called the lentil soup something red. Because the sickness dims your eyesight. It dims your eyesight and he couldn't see anything clearly. He would have died if Yaakov wouldn't have given him anything. And he was too weak to do anything but be fed the soup by Yaakov, you know, pouring it into its mouth. And that's why Esav said, Halitaini na, pour it in, I can't move. He couldn't move, he couldn't see, and he had to be poured this soup inside his mouth. So the kasha then just now applies. So what's Yaakov Avinu taking advantage of him for? That's like a true Jew move, isn't it? Like, what in the world? Like, he's starving, he's dying, and then all of a sudden you're taking this food, and you're just like, yeah, I'll let you live, but you got to sell me the bechor. Like, I mean, what else do you want to do? Give me your shoes off, though. You know, so like, what kind of a move is that? Why would he do this? The Ben Ishchai answers that question by saying, if you notice in the pasuk, it shouldn't say the who ayes, and he was tired, he was hungry. It should say vayavo Esav min hasada. Esav came from the field ayes, tired and weary. The wording of the who ayes and he was tired is strange wording, says the Ben Ishchai. So he says the extra who is to tell you the following: Esav was the first person to contract this disease, the first person to have ever gotten it before. No one had ever had it, so they didn't know what it was. He was so weary and hungry after hunting and doing everything, he was willing to do anything to get food. And in fact, says the Ben Ishchai, he offered it to Yaakov, although the pasuk doesn't seem to word it that way. He offered it to Yaakov. He said, I'll even sell you my firstborn status for some food. Now Yaakov didn't realize that he was dying. He looked at him and said, okay, this guy's crazy. I don't know what's going on now, but he's willing to sell the firstborn right for lentil soup. Has anybody ever had lentil soup?
Yes.
Okay, so you know. Yeah, okay.
I
haven't had good lentil soup ever. Ever. Okay, not the best. Not the best. I'm still going with chicken soup. That's my number one. Potato soup. Potato leek soup. That's no. Pretty, I'm going with that. It's something in my top 70, but it's not. So lentil soup is not something that somebody's going to sit there and go crazy on and say, like, I will do anything for that soup. Yaakov Avinu had no idea what he was doing. So therefore, he said, it's going to go ahead. And here's the pshat. Then that should make it into a mekach tos. Because if he's selling it, thinking that he had no idea what was going on, what's going to be right there, what's happening, how would they know whatsoever? The pshat is.
Even there,
the bread that he gave afterward is exactly that. One of the pshatim that they say is they gave the extra bread, that they gave him a little bit more stuff, that extra stuff was given to him, that there was more being sold. Yaakov Avinu even wrote up a contract. That was the contract of Ma'aretz Machpelah. Remember, the Naphtali ran to go get when Esau was complaining outside of the cave. There was a real contract made, so it showed that Esau was there. According to the Ben Ishchai, when he went in, he said, "I'm telling you right now, I'm not considering myself an ones. I'm just starving." He didn't think that he was so sick, but the Panach Raza says he was sick. He had almost, but nobody knew. Nobody had any idea whatsoever. Didn't know what he had contracted. That's the idea behind it. Yeah.
The meat that he got, wasn't that cooked also?
The meat that he got, meaning the stuff
from the game
earlier. You're talking different times. This time at 15, Esav didn't come back with any food.
Oh.
You're talking about later on with the Bechor, with the Brachos. That's at 63.
This yeah. doesn't seem to fit with the Psukim, which says at the end, that Esav is the Bechor, which means that Esav was like, it wasn't a desperation move or because he lacked any alternative.
Why?
He didn't care.
Call it like this. Why sell the Bechorah instead of something else that he had? He had the beautiful cloak, the big day chamudos that he had. Why sell the Bechorah? Because he hated that more than he hated the coat.
The pasuk is, sell me your Bechorah, fine, take whatever you want.
Oh, clear.
It's
yeah.
That he's really
agreed with that.
He's really hungry.
Agreed with that. The Ben Ishchai is a little off on that, but yeah.
As a raya for him, he could say, okay, like I really need this for my health, but even though I need it for my health, why do I need it anyway? Because of the fact he said, why do I need this
Bechorah
anyway?
That's true. Ellie's point that he said before was exactly the same thing. That Vayivaz Esav Bechorah is where all those Midrashim come through that say that he clearly showed he didn't want it afterward. That's where the reason why the bread came in, or there's something else at the end, the contract that was there. It's from Vayivaz Esav Bechorah. That's where they learn it up. Because why mention that at the very, very end? It means because he was saying, I still hate the Bechorah. And even if Yaakov would go up to him afterward and said, you want to take it back? I didn't realize you were dying. Esav said, "Vayivaz Esav Bechorah." No, the Bechorah means nothing to me. It's worthless to me. That's what he was saying. I hear the kasha, but nonetheless, it's there. The tour says a different shot altogether. That Yaakov was shepherding his sheep in the field. I don't know how that fits into the words by Yozed Nazid. I don't know. But the words Yozed Nazid are weird. We said before that meant he was cooking something. It could be there's another wording over here. The tour says, not the Balaturim, but the tour, that he was shepherding his sheep in the field, and Esav, who had been lost for days, found Esav in the field. He had already resigned himself to death, Esav, and thought that nobody would find him. And the only thing that Esav had was the little bit of whatever it was, the soup, whatever he had on him, he gave to Esav. Of while they were in the fields together. It didn't happen in the way that we all know it as. The Me'am Lo'ei says that Esav told Yaakov to feed him the lentils even though they weren't even finished cooking yet. Now that was the idea behind it, that he was willing to do it right then. He was so agape. I'm so tired. I just want to eat something right now. Just give it to me. I don't care that it's not ready yet. Just pour it into my mouth while it's still a third of the way cooked. And we all know that's Machol Ben Drusoi. According to Gemara and Shabbos, that's the amount that it has to be cooked in order to be considered something that is cooked, so to speak. One third of the way cooked, that goes for Hilchos Shabbos. I always thought my idea behind it was that Esav would have stolen the food if he wasn't exhausted. The point behind the pasuk saying v'hu ayeid, he was so exhausted, is if not for the fact that he was exhausted, he never would have had the chance to sell it to him, because Esav would have grabbed the food and ran. V'hu ayeid tells me he was so tired, he was like, I'm not in the mood to steal it and run. I just can't do that. I'm not in the mood to do it. So that's how I always learned that v'hu ayeid is just simply put, he was too tired to do anything else. Yeah, what were you going to say?
The whole thing now seems like so strange, this whole story, because like if you live like in your parents' house as they were at the time, mm-hmm. both of them 13 years old, if something's cooking on the stove, you can just, at least where I grew up, you can, doesn't matter who was cooking, my older brother, myself.
Not consider yours.
Yeah, you just help yourself to it, but why does he have to ask permission?
I don't know what it means to be living in the same house. We're talking about tents. So could it be that we're referring to a tent that uses Yaakov in his tent?
Yeah.
A tent over anything. Maybe it was. Maybe it was considered something separate. He was only 15, but 15 back then could have been an age where they were living on their own, doing stuff on their own. It's a possibility. But yes. normally that would have been the deal. Normally it would have been belonged to the house itself. The Beis HaLevi says Asa was faking it the entire time, pretending to be sick, pretending that he just had a tremendous taiva. He knew that Avram Avinu had passed away. He knew what the lentils were being cooked for Yitzchak Avinu, and he wanted them so badly that he faked it and said, "Oh, I'm so sick, I need to eat right now. Give it to me." And because he was faking it, Yaakov Avinu took advantage of the situation and said, "Oh, you're so sick? Sell me the bechorah for it." I mean, once he did that, once he saw that he was faking it, he went right back at him. That's what the Beis HaLevi says. So it wasn't like he took advantage of his brother, but rather did it in such a way that he showed him. He didn't think he'd even say yes, maybe. But the Yalkut Reveni quotes a psikta that tells us when Esav came back from the field and heard the news about his grandfather, Avram Avinu, he got upset. And he said, "Do you think that Avram is going to be buried and be brought back by Tchias HaMesim?" And Yalkut said, "Of course." And Esav replied to that, "It can't be. If Midas Adin struck my Zaydi, the great Tzaddik Avram Avinu, then there must be no schar v'onish in this world or the next world. There's no point to living, no point to being in this world. Since I'm going to die anyway, I might as well give up everything in this world. Nothing matters to me anymore. I just want to deal with food, drink, and anything else that I want to do here, and that's that." To which Yaakov said, "Then if you're really giving up on life after Avram Avinu died because you're so upset, then give me all the ruchnias. You can have gashmias, I could care less. Give me all the ruchnias." And that's what it means, ayef. Ayef does not mean weary. It means tired and confused. He was upset about what had happened with his father, his grandfather, Avram Avinu. He was ayev, and that he didn't want to deal with life anymore, with anything that had to do with spirituality. He couldn't believe anything was out there. That's the way of learning ayev. What do you got, Nathan?
It sounds like I heard somewhere that when it says, "I'm going to die," something like that, it means like, not like right this moment, I'm about to die, so give me some food.
But rather, I'm going to die anyway. The whole point, like, what's the difference? The whole world doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Very good. Rashi says that he just committed murder. I'm sorry?
You drink and be merry.
Right, Somali died. Where's that from again? Mishlei? Was that in Kohelis? I don't remember what that passage is. Either way, Rashi says that he had just committed murder. Rashi says he just committed murder. As it says in Yirmiyah, "Ayef anafshi lahorgim," I'm ready to kill. Ayef is the word of murder. That's why it's used ayef and not ra'ev. Ra'ev would be hunger. But it shows ayef that he killed. The Be'er Basada says that since later, Esav tells Yaakov that he's ayef. He says, "Ki ayef anochi." Why would the pasuk have to say it here, "Behu ayef"? We know Esav's going to say it later on. So why do we have to say it right now, "Behu ayef"? To tell you, this is what he did. The second ayef is, "I'm hungry." The first ayef is, "I just killed somebody," or "he just killed somebody." That's what the Be'er Basada is trying to say over here. The Maral Diskin understands it a little bit better. He goes on and says, it should have been "Behu ayef mina derech." It's not mina sada, it should be from the road that it's on. The fact of what he did in the field, he killed in the field, is min hasada. "Behu ayef" means he killed while he was in the field itself. And Torah Tamima says it's fine, because whenever we talk about somebody like Esav, you can add on any kilkel you want. You can say bad things about him and just add on bad things, because we just assume that he's bad. So you can just darshan as much as you want on it, and that's perfectly fine. But Targum Yonah then adds to that and says that he did five terrible sins on that day. Number one, he murdered an innocent man. Number two, he committed a avodah zarah. Number three, he was together with a nara murasa, which is interesting. Lots of different rishonim on what that means. Was there such a thing as a betrothed girl by non-Jews at that time? Is that a concept, or is that not a concept? But that's number three. Number four, he denied the world to come, olam haba. Number five, he made fun of the Bechor status. Now there's no question, number four and five happened after he heard about Avram Avinu. That's from the story itself, by Yivez Esav as a Bechora, and the fact that he said to Yaakov, "You know, I don't believe in crime and punishment." That's that. Okay, I understand those two. But the other three happened seemingly beforehand. So why would Rashi only mention one? Why would Rashi only mention murder? So the Mizrahi says, Rashi goes with the one that's closest to Pshat. The other four he felt were too crazy. Murder, he feels that could have been understood from the pasuk itself, the huayet that he had killed. It's possible you can get that from the pasuk, and therefore, because that is there,
obvious than the other one.
I think from how the Be'er Basada put it, or maybe the Maral Diskin, the wording of it should have been huayet min haderech, or from the fact that huayet is not necessary since he says it later on. I think those are the two, but the Mizrahi doesn't explain. But he feels that that's the closest in pshat. That's how the Mizrahi puts it. The Amali said that he stole on that day. He adds on a sin over there. Okay, and that's that. And there's a tremendous review on Sanhedrin here, but there's a little bit more to that. That's, we'll deal with that right now. The Ksam Sofer says that we all know why Avraham Avinu passed away. Avraham Avinu passed away when they were 15, said he wouldn't see Esav do any sins. Now, this seems to be a catch-22. But Esav said the reason why he's going off is because why? Because Avraham Avinu just passed away. If, how could Avraham Avinu pass away? There must be no judge in this world. So that makes no sense. Avraham Avinu was killed early so that there wouldn't be, and he wouldn't see anything wrong. But if he wouldn't have died, Esav wouldn't have sinned. That wouldn't have happened. So what does that mean? Brian, what are you going to say?
Or you could just say, like maybe Avram would have gone blind or something, just like Yitzhak.
Very good.
Still
been around, but not have seen something like that. But that's listen. The Medrash says that he couldn't be around to even hear what Esav was doing, to even hear it.
Right.
So I mean, he couldn't be around for that. That would have been sour for Avram Avinu. Therefore, he died 5 years early because of that. But if you don't kill him, then you don't have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about anything. What's up?
The difference between doing sins and thinking in your mind that there's no Olam Haba and no God. So, for instance, Esav before could have been, okay, like, I love God, but I have a Yetzer Hara, you know, I murder, I steal. But after Avraham, he's like, there's no Olam Haba, there's nothing.
Interesting. So you're saying that the taivas that allowed him to do a sin was not indicative of what kind of a person he was.
Avraham Avinu could deal with his, you know, with his grandson doing Chataim. Everyone does Chataim, but to say that no God, there's no Olam Haba, maybe that
is... You know, when it comes to stump sins, I guess I hear that. When we're dealing with Gilead Raya's Avodah Zarah and Shlichus Damin, I don't know if that would apply. I mean, obviously, there are taivas that allow you to do it even though you might still have that Amunah and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Avraham Avinu may still have considered that a tremendous tsar. Something that he kicked Yishmael out for when he was starting to do Yilas Shvichus Dama Barazar. I feel like that could be, it would apply over here as well. I hear the answer though. For the other, for the regular sins, I definitely can hear the answer. For this, maybe you can use it. I'll use it as a secondary answer. I like it as a secondary answer. So the Ksam Sofer tries answering by saying there's a Sifte Chachamim. Sifte Chachamim says that Esav really went off at the age of 13. At the age of 13, he started doing badly. And he says at 13, he did private sins. He did sins without anybody knowing about it. At the age of 15, he started doing publicly. He started sinning publicly and doing things that were wrong outside in front of other people. That's how he says it. So the Ksam Sofer says like this. When Esav had started sinning at the age of 13, he had been together with married women. And there was no way to tell that Esav had actually been together with a married woman, because even if the married woman had children, it's possible those children were from their husbands. There was no way to prove that Esav had done something wrong. But at the age of 14, Esav was together with a betrothed girl. The girl had not been married and had not been together with her husband. When they had suspicions that Esav was together with her and that lady became pregnant, only when she gave birth and the rumors took flight, the kid looks like Esav and is a betrothed girl who had not been together with her husband before, then all of a sudden everyone said, Esav's a Russian. It's not that Esav was together with the woman on that day. It's that the woman had given birth on that day. The woman had given birth on the day that Avraham Avinu died. Avraham Avinu, if he would have been alive, he would have heard that his son, his grandson, Esav, had given birth to a great-grandchild, and it wouldn't have been a mazel tov. That's what he would have heard, and that's why Avraham Avinu had to pass away. Meaning, that wasn't the issue. He had started sinning, he didn't publicly sin until 15, and the public sin, the first public sin that happened, was the fact that a child was born to Esav from a random woman who was already betrothed to another girl on the day that Avraham Avinu passed away. Had Avraham Avinu not passed away, he would have heard about this. That's the idea. And that proves that all the other rumors before him were also true. If this is true, and that he had been together with this betrothed woman, then probably everything was true. On that day, everything became public. Everything was there. But the Be'er Yosef takes it a little bit further. The Be'er Yosef says, so how do we explain? I thought you just said that Avraham Avinu dying was the reason why Esav went off. So the Be'er Yosef says something so simple. I try to tell this to people all the time. And it's really, Daniel, it's really what you just said. The Be'er Yosef says, emunah and bitachon is not the issue when a person sins. A person can have a real emunah and real bitachon. He believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. But when the taiva brings you to do something, it makes no difference that you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you just want to do it. Nothing else matters. I don't want to care about anything else. I just need to do this. And I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. I know I'm going to be punished. But I can't get myself over this hate. And maybe there's a little bit, but the question is, which one came first, the chicken or the egg? Is it that I lost my emunah and bitachon, and therefore I sinned? Or is it that I sinned and I lost my emunah and bitachon? Here, the psukim are trying to tell you that Avram dying was the excuse for Esav's behavior. But Esav was already going off without Avram Avinu dying. And the proof? Esav had already killed and had already committed adultery before he heard about Avram Avinu dying. Only after he heard Avram Avinu dying did he say, you know what, there's no din, no dying, no tchias amesim. He blamed it all after he had already sinned, because now he felt guilt. Now he felt guilt, and when he saw that he had something to blame it on and say it's on it for Avram Avinu, then he blamed it. So the pshat is, if Avram Avinu would not have died, Esav still would have sinned. So Avram Avinu had to die so he wouldn't see the sins. But Avram Avinu's death was a cover-up by Esav for his sins. A cover-up to say, here's the reason why. It was his excuse. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was once approached by a guy. This guy came up to him and said, he was once in the yeshiva, he'd been in the yeshiva for a long time. He left the yeshiva and started doing his own thing, and unfortunately went to the reform side, started doing tremendous averus. So he went to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and he said to Reb Chaim, I have questions on Emunah. I have questions on Emunah. So Chaim Soloveitchik said, before I talk to you, answer me the following. Did you have these questions before you sinned, before you went off, or do you have these questions in Emunah now? So the guy, to his credit, admitted that, you know, I never had these questions until I went off, and then I heard things from the Reform side, and then I started having these questions in Emunah. And Reb Chaim said, then I can't answer you. And listen to the reason why. You're not asking questions. You're answering your own behavior. I can't answer an answer. I can answer a question, but you're not asking anything. You're excusing what your behavior was. And excusing your behavior, you can't give an answer to that. You can't do anything. So Reb Chaim refused to speak to him, refused to answer any of his shilas that he might have had. I'm going to go through one medrash, and I know it's late, so I'm just going to say it out quickly. There's a Rav Wolfson over here, there's two Rav Wolfsons that are beautiful, about how Nimrod and Avram Avinu seem to have died on the same day. But listen to this. The Dasikanim says that the person he killed that day was Nimrod, who certainly wasn't an innocent man. So I don't know why Yonos ben Uzziel said that he killed an innocent person. But either way, he killed Nimrod. As Esav was hunting in the fields, Nimrod found him and told him that he, Nimrod, was the only person who could hunt in these fields. No one else is allowed to hunt here except for me. So Esav went and took advice from Yaakov, said, what should I do? And Yaakov told him that Nimrod's power was in his cloak. Make him take off his cloak, and then you can kill him. Esav did that, and he killed him. That's what the Das HaKanim says. The Baalei Tosfos. So I found this medrash in the Sefer HaYashar and the Seder HaDoros. It's a different version, but it's an interesting version. After Avram Avinu died, so it's interesting, right? Because the Bar Yosef said that he had did all this, the murder happened before. But after Avram Avinu died, Esav went out into the forest and went hunting. Nimrod had his strong men there. He had a whole army of people. They were all hunting together in different parts of the forest. At one point, by the way, it's also strange because Nimrod would have lived very far away from Esav. Unless Esav had traveled a tremendous distance or Nimrod had traveled a tremendous distance. I don't know where this forest is. But maybe the land is different from where it is today. Maybe the deserts today in Saudi Arabia were forests back then.
What is
I don't know.
Really hunting? He's like, if he's even alive at this point, is
hard to say. Unless you're dealing with a son or a grandson. Someone who took over the power of Nimrod and was just called Nimrod. That's that. I'm sorry? Yes, he was the king. Whoever it was the king at the time, and he had the big Dechamudas, as we'll talk about. So either way, Nimrod had heard of Esav, and he was jealous of him. Jealous of him because he heard how he's such a hunting prowess, as well as his connection to Avram Avinu, so he hated Esav, and Esav hated Nimrod. Esav saw Nimrod first, and started hunting Nimrod instead. When Nimrod separated with two of his guards, went to a certain part of the forest, Esav hid by a certain place, and right when Nimrod came by, Esav jumped down out of the tree that he was in, or by the bushes that he was in, and cut off Nimrod's head. Wasn't even a challenge. Right? Then, he saw the guards. It seems he might have killed his son also. His son's name was either Chiur or Chanoch. Then, he went ahead and killed the guards, but the guards let out a little cry before that had happened, and the other warriors who were all around all of Nimrod's men, they heard that, and they came running. Esav quickly grabbed the cloak that was on Nimrod's body. The famous hunting cloak, the one that had magical properties on it. The Dasa Kingdom says that this cloak had pictures of every animal on it. The animals looked so real that when you walked wearing this cloak, the animals looked like they were moving. All the animals looked like they were moving from one place to the other. Now, the Dasa Kingdom says that each one, this cloak, animals were attracted to it, and because of that, they would come to the man wearing it, and they would bow down to the person that was wearing such a cloak and allow themselves to be trapped, which is why Nimrod was such a great trapper. The cloak originally belonged to Adam Rishon. He got it from the skin of the Nachash. The Nachash's shed skin was this cloak. Okay, that was given over to him. It was given to Chanoch. Chanoch gave it to Mesushelach. Mesushelach gave it to Noach. Noach brought it on the Teva. That's how he brought all the animals to the Teva. Chum stole it when they left the Teva. He gave it to Nimrod. Nimrod had it, and now it was stolen from Nimrod and given over to Esav. And then it gets even better. Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar and Parachav Dalet and Bereishis Rabbah Samach Gimel Yud Gimel say seemingly that this was the cloak that Yaakov Avinu had taken and kept it, and eventually this may have been the Ksonis Pasim of Yosef HaTzadik, that they added on sleeves to it, and that became the Ksonis Pasim of Yosef. Okay, that it's an amazing little thing. When the other men found Nimrod and they saw that the guards were dead, they traced Esav's track and they followed him. Esav threw them off track, hid this place, hit that place, went all over the place. When he was done with everything, it was days later, weeks later, months later, and then he came back to the house where Yaakov Avinu was, starving and hungry, running away from the men of Esav, saying, I need something to eat right now. He had been afraid for so long that he hadn't had it. Either way, I'm just going to end with this. Rav Wolfson says, Avram Avinu and Nimrod, if this is all correct, if this goes through, now we do have a little bit of the issue of it's possible that he was hiding for a few weeks beforehand. It seems they died on the exact same day. Yaakov and Esav also, although they didn't die on the same day, they were both buried on the same day. It seems that there's a connection that Zelu Mazet Asalotin. When one dies, the other has to go as well. It's a Gemara in Tainus when it might not be in Tainus, it might be in Chagiga. I think it might be in Chagiga. When Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah died, Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah, who fought with Trajan, who fought with Hadrian, who fought with all the minim of his time, when Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah passed away, they said to him, Rabbi, what are we going to do with all the minim? What are we going to do to argue with them? And he said to them, you don't have to worry. When I die, they're all going to die as well. Every single one of them. That when Kedusha passed away, you have to have the Tumah go along with it. Once the powers of Nevuah went away, the powers of Avodah Zarah went away as well. That concept is there, says Rav Wolfson, it stems from this, where Avram and Nimrod died on the same day, the two mortal enemies who stood for exact opposites in this world. It's not a coincidence that they died on the same day, that Esav killed them at that point.
It can make sense throughout all of history.
I wish it could. I don't know. No, but you're right.
Why would we need him, Haman and Mordecai then?
Haman and Mordecai?
Wouldn't that make them both heads?
Maybe there was somebody else, unfortunately, that passed away at the same time of Haman, but it wasn't Mordecai.
Right,
there was somebody else.
So wouldn't that be the opposite?
But why not Daniel? Hasach passed away the day before. Hasach was killed on the way by Haman. So maybe Haman died with Hasach, meaning Daniel and Haman were equal to one another. In fact, Daniel and Haman have the same gematria. That's a cool shot. Yeah, what's up?
You said in the past that every time a Russia dies,
this is the concept. This is the concept. They did something regarding all the recent tzaddikim trying to figure out who it was. It's kind of evil because you're looking at like who is the greatest evil person to have died around this tzaddik. That's kind of an evil thing to do. But regardless, that's the concept that they say, and this is the concept. It stems from over here. All right, Shaykh, everybody, we'll dive in.